Today, share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Tes Zayin. We begin at the two dots, about a third of the way down, with the quoting of the Mishnah, Hachoteit Begodish. And we'd actually had this previously, we had this in yesterday's share, and now we'll go through it again today. If a person tries to hollow out a haystack, again, if you're having difficulty imagining what this is, there are diagrams in the Pirush Chai on page 45 and in the Illustrated Gemara on page 28, diagram number 83. Now, we're going to add on additional diagrams. You'll look ahead in the Illustrated Gemara on page 88, diagram number 30, which we'll talk about momentarily in the Pirush Chai on page 45. We'll look at diagrams 226 or 227 or even 228 in a few moments. So just to keep those fingers on those places, let us begin today's share. If you chotate begodish, if you're digging out a haystack, we said in the Mishnah, it's not a valid sukkah because the tasem in a osui prohibition is violated in the fact that it was originally not there as tzel, and now you're digging it out from underneath, so you're creating the schach after the fact, which is no good. Rav Huna tells us, Lo shanu ela she'ein shom chalal tefach b'meshech shiva. This is only true that it's a problem of tasvelum and osi if you didn't have any hollowed out space. And you can see in the diagrams that I just mentioned to you in the Illustrated Gemara of the Pirush Chai that this could be a tefach space that's 7x7 at the bottom, or theoretically it could be a tefach space of 7x7 with one tefach in the height towards the top. As long as you've created an ohel before you've dug out the entire Gadish to make it into a 10 tefach space, so then you did have the walls up, you have an ohel, and the schach is there l'shem tzel, and therefore that would be a kosher sukkah, Rav Huna tells us. So Loshanu, we only say that it's no good, l'shem shom chalal tefach b'meshach shiva, that you don't have a kosher sukkah in size of 7x7 with a space, even though that space is not 10 tefach, even though that space is only 1 tefach, it still qualifies as an ohel. As we mentioned previously, in regards to Hilchos Tumah, that would be preventing the Tumah from rising through. The Tumah would spread out, but it wouldn't rise through. So therefore, that is considered an ohel. Albeit, it's not a kosher a sukkah, but therefore, it does have the shame of an ohel, and the tzel, the top schach, is there l'shem tzel. It's put up as a roof, and not that it's created afterwards. And therefore, once you hollow out then the 10 tefachim, you would have a kosher a sukkah. So then, if it did have that one tefach space at least, and it had to have the dimensions of a kosher 7x7 sukkah, so then it would be good. And we have a brice in support of this. Tani Nami Hochi, the brice says, if somebody digs out this haystack, to make a sukkah, it is a kosher sukkah. The word says, our Mishnah says otherwise, ain't a sukkah. Our Mishnah said it's not a sukkah, so the Braisa seems to argue with the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a contradiction. The answer is like Rav Huna said, Shmamino, that's a good teretz, that our Mishnah is talking about where it didn't have the space of a tefach, and this Braisa, where it says that it is good, says it did have the space of a tefach, and ultimately made it into 10 tefachim, so therefore it was originally l'shem tzel, and therefore it is a kosher sukkah. Now, others had this discussion of Rav Huna, not as a statement of Rav Huna that then we subsequently supported, but they had it out as a straight-out steer between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Ikidromi le'mirma. Others had brought this down as a steer between the Braisa and the Mishnah. It said it on Mishnah Tanan, Hachoti begodish lasos l'sukkah ein a'sukkah, but it said in the Braisa, V'tanya, harei z'sukkah. So the Mishnah says it's not a sukkah if you dig out the haystack, and the Braisa says it is a sukkah. So it's a steerah, so we could say it's two different tanayim, but we don't like to do that if we don't have to. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna reconciled them by saying, Lokasha, kambishay shom chalal tefach. The answer we gave a moment ago is the answer that Rav Huna directly gave over here. Our Mishnah is talking about there was no halal tefach, and the Braisa is talking about where there is a halal tefach. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, what you can see in the Pirush Chai on page 45, diagram number 228, that if you extend this beyond the Kashura Sukkah 7x7 area, and that you dig out additional areas that did not have that one tefach of all. You can see in diagram 228, for those that have it, that there's a little aleph at the bottom. That's the one tefach space. But when you look to the right and to the left of that, where you have the dalet and the gimel and the dalet and the gimel, so there is no ohel space there. So then that dalet represents dalet amos, so that's a dofen akuma, and therefore that passels the middle. So when you dig it out, you have to have it dug out over an area that is a kosher sukkah, but that kosher sukkah can't be ruined by having a tremendous amount of non-oil area next to it. Now we begin the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, a mishal shel dufanos milamala lemata. If you have a wall and you're letting that wall go from the top where the schach is down, so you, let's say, for example, had four posts in the ground, and then you put up the walls. So the walls are coming down from where the schach is, and you're mishalshim, you're letting them down, these stefanos, milamala, from the top to the bottom. So it depends. Im gavo min oritz shlosha tvachim psula. According to the Tanakhama, if there's going to be a space at the bottom between the floor and the bottom of this wall of three tvachim, and again, if you're having trouble picturing this, you can look in the Pirush Chai on page 46, diagram 229, or in the Illustrated Gemara on page 30, diagram number 89, that you have this space at the bottom that gedi bokimbo, that a goat, little goat, could go underneath it. In other words, it's more than lavud, it's 3.0 or more from the bottom. So then, shlosha tvachim or more, it would be psula, because gedi and bokimbo, and therefore it's not considered a halachic wall. However, milamata lamala, if you start from the bottom, starting from the bottom means that you're within 2.9 or less tvachim of the bottom, under three tvachim from the bottom. So you have only a small space at the bottom that the gedim can't go through, so then it's halachically through the principle of love, considered on the ground. And then you go up from there, even though you don't reach the schach. And again, you can see examples of this in Pirush Chai, page 46, diagram 230, or in the Illustrated Gemara, page 30, diagram number 90. So in these situations, then im gavoa asar tvachim, if the entire wall is at least 10 tvachim, share it, that's a perfectly good wall. It doesn't have to reach the schach. So going upwards, we do apply the principle of good osik, but going down, we only apply the principle of good ochis if you're within three tvachim of the bottom of the wall, according to the Tanakhama. However, Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, no, we apply both good osik and good ochis. Kishem shalamat bilamata lamala sar tvachim, and then we can continue up to the schach through the principle of good osik. We extend the wall upwards. So too, kach milamala lamata asar tvachim. Even though you're more than three tvachim above the ground, you're 3.0 tvachim or more, the wall is above the ground. Nevertheless, we still apply the principle of good ochis. We extend the wall down as if we're reaching to the ground. According to Rav Yossi, we go both good osik and good ochis. You go up or down with the wall halachically. Gemara starts off and says, what is this argument between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi? B'maika miflegi, so Ma'ar Sova, Rabbi Yossi holds, mechitza tuluya materis, that if it's a hanging mechitza, we apply the principle of good ochis, we extend it downwards, and it's a perfectly good mechitza. As opposed to the Tanakhama, Umar Sova, mechitza tuluya ena materis. No, we don't apply the principle of good ochis, we don't extend the wall down unless it's within 3 tvachim of the ground, 2.9 tvachim or less from the ground. Then we have the principle of lavud that fills in that space. Otherwise, we are concerned gedim bokimbo in this situation. Gemara says this is parallel to a Mishnah that we have in Erevin. And again, you have diagrams for what this is in the Art School Gemara over here, as well as you're going to have diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai, starting on page 46 with diagram number 231, and the Illustrated Gemara on page 31, diagram number 91. And refer to these diagrams each time to understand what's going on. So, we have Tanan Hos, we learned there in the Mishnah in Erevin, Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, you have a well, a pit, in between two Chatzeros, and there is a wall going entirely over this pit, from one side to the other side of these 2 yards. And again, you can see this in all the diagrams if you're having trouble imagining this. So the two courtyards are separated from each other via a wall. There's no opening or door or entranceway from one courtyard to the other, so they can't halachically make an Erev Chatzeros between them. And this wall goes over a pit that's filled with water. So the question is, can you take water from this pit, from one courtyard, picking up, because the water mixes. So you're really taking water possibly from the other courtyard, which you're not allowed to do, midi rabbanan. So therefore, it says in this Mishnah, Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeros, you have this pit that's in between two chatzeros that has a wall over it. You're not allowed to go take from one courtyard to go into this well and take the water from this pit into their courtyard. Likewise, the other courtyard can't do this because there is no Erev Chatzeros capability between the two courtyards, and they're two separate entities, and one can't take from the other one, and the water in the well is considered moving backwards and forwards, and therefore the water that you're picking up came from the other side, and it's not allowed to be taken. Ein memala mimenu b'shabbos. Unless, if you want to make this, that there's a mechitza in this well, in this pit, what must you do? Elam kein also lo mechitza asar tvachim. You have to make a mechitza of 10 tvachim. Now, where do you make this mechitza? According to the Tanakhama here in this Mishnah, the mechitza that's totally above the well doesn't count. The wall that's above the well doesn't count. We'll see the Rav Yossi says that it does count. But the Tanakhama says that this wall above the well doesn't count because we don't extend the mechitza downward. We don't say good achis. We don't say a mechitza tluya is good. But what can you do? If you want to make a mechitza, you have to have a mechitza of 10 tvachim. Now, the girsa that we have is bein milamala, bein milamata, bein besoch ognam. Many suggest that this is not the right girsa. Rashi and Tosos over here have different girsos. So I'll just explain this without looking at the individual words as saying that it is either talking about, and you can see this all in the diagrams, both in the art scroll and in the Pirush Chai, very, very clearly, that this mechitza of 10 tefachim is going to be always below the lip of this bore or this pit, either at the very top above the water or towards the bottom right above the water. That's what it means. And that's what the Tanakhama says you have to do in order for this to be a kasher or mechitza. And now each side can take from their own side because there's a wall halachically separating the waters, even though they're still mixing underneath this, but halachically they're considered separate. So that's what you have to do according to Tanakhama. Now, Rav Shimon Gamliel says as follows. Rav Shimon Gamliel, may we turn to Tezayin Omid Beis. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that this is a machlokas between Beishame and Beisilo. Beishame Yomri and Milamala. Where does the wall have to be placed? Milamala. Now, this means above the level of the water a lot, but still below the lip of the well. So it's in the top 10 tefachim, let's say, of this pit, well above the water. And Beisilo Omri and Milamata. And Beisilo says, no, it has to be right above the water. That's where the 10 tefachim have to start, and it goes up, even though it's well below the lip. That's the girsa we have. Tosus points out, in the Gemara in Ervin and elsewhere, this girsa is switched around. The Beis Shammai is the one that says it has to be at the bottom, and Beis Hillel is the one that allows it to be even more towards the top, and certainly towards the bottom. Now, this is Rabbi Gamliel. He says that this opinion of the Tanakhama is actually Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and that the Tanakhama goes like Beis Hillel. And here we have a third opinion now. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana says, Lo te mechitza gedolim, and akosu shebedeim. He says, no, why do you have to make these mechitzas inside the lip, bein ogno, whether it's lamal or lamata, bein ogno. He says, no, you have one perfectly good. The wall above here is perfectly good, because the mechitza teluya is a perfectly good mechitza. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying exactly like Rabbi Yossi. So Amar Rabba Baruchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, b'shitas Rabbi Yossi, Amara, the Amar mechitza teluya, materis. Oh, mustn't it be that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yossi that the mechitza tluya is good? Therefore, they say the same exact thing. Now, the Gemara says, maybe not. Who says that this is true? Velohi. In fact, maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Even though they both seem to be saying the same thing, we'll show that the differences between the two. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, sabar like Rabbi Yossi. Lo Rabbi Yossi, sabar like Rabbi Yehuda. In fact, they can't be aligned. Why not? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah over here, in Erevin, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi, by Sukkah. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Savalok Rabbi Yossi. Why not? Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yehuda hasam. Rabbi Yehuda says only in regards to the Erevin Chatzeros in the Mishnah in Erevin, Ela be Erevin Chatzeros. That was a din by Erevin Chatzeros. The whole din is the Rabbanon. And therefore, one could be makel to say that the Mechitza Tluya works in that situation. However, by Sukkah, Avalacha Sukkah, Sukkah is a din daraisa. Lo, who says he says that the Mechitza Tluya works for a din daraisa? For a din darabanan, hey mamar, hey mamar. The rabbi said, so the rabbis can say this also. But by din daraisa, the rabbis can't change around what the din daraisa is, and a Sukkah Tluya doesn't work. So maybe Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. And likewise, Velo Rabbi Yossi, by Sukkah, who says he holds this way by Rabbi Yehuda in Erevin Chatzeros? Velo Rabbi Yossi, so Velok Rabbi Yehuda. Why not? Because Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Yossi hocha ela b'sukkah, the mitzvah saseh. By Sukkah, while it's a daraisa, it's only, quote, a mitzvah saseh. And therefore, one could be makel by a mitzvah saseh. Avol Shabbos, this whole issa of Erev Chatzeros is an issa of Shabbos, even though it's the Rabbanon. The issa of Skila, which the paradigm for Shabbos on a daraisa level is an issa of Skila, lo, maybe he's stricter by Shabbos than he would be by Sukkah. So therefore, lav davka, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi hold the same sheet of Mechitza Tluya. In fact, each one may not hold like the other one in the other one's case. Gemara says, now, V'im Tomar, are you going to tell me that Rabbi Yossi, you're telling me, doesn't hold that this Mechitza works on Shabbos, but I'll show you, Maisa B'tzipori, Maisa Shinasa B'tzipori, which Rashi points out, was Rabbi Yossi's shtot. Rabbi Yossi was the Rebbe in Tzipori. As Rashi says, the Lord Rabbi Yossi, Rosh Shal Yeshiva Tzipori Haba, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us. So therefore, anything that comes out of Tzipori, Mastama has Rav Yossi's shtempel on it. He agrees to it. And yet it said over there in that Maisa Shinasa Bitzipori, Alpim Nasa, it said that you could use the Mechitza Tluya. So obviously Rav Yossi does hold a Mechitza Tluya works. So if it isn't Rav Yossi, then who is it? Someone says, no, you're right. It wasn't Rav Yossi. Lo, Api Rav Yossi. Ela, Api Rabbi Yishmol, Rav Yossi. It was his son, Rabbi Yishmol. After Rav Yossi no longer was the Rosh Hashiva, he passed away. So his son took over. And his son passed him differently than the father. So this Maisa out of Tzipori, which we're now going to say what it was, went according to the opinion of Rabbi Yishmol and not according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. In fact, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold that a Mechitza Tluya works on Shabbos because of the severity of Issa Shabbos, but he only holds it works by Sukkah, which is, quote, only an Asseh. What was this Maisa? My Maisa? The Chiosa of Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Eretz Yisrael, he said, Omar, this is the Maisa that he heard. Pamachas, one time, Shachachu, the Lord of Yehu Sefer Torah, every Shabbos. Rashi gives us some background over here. It says that the Goyim were constantly persecuting us. And if the Sefer Torah was in the base at Knesset, the Goyim could come in and overrun it and destroy the Sefer Torah and desecrate the Torah and the base Knesset. So they wouldn't keep the Sefer Torah in the base Knesset when nobody was there. They'd leave it in the house nearby and they'd bring it to Shul Shabbos morning. But one time, Pamachas, Shachachu, they forgot the Lord of Yehu Sefer Torah, every Shabbos. They didn't bring it there right before Shabbos started. And now they had to carry it there on Shabbos. But they didn't have an Erev. L'mochar, what did they do the next day? How did they get the Sefer Torah there? Pirsu Sidinin Agabi Hamudim. They put up sheets on various posts that they had over there to enclose the area from which they would carry the Sefer Torah from the house into the shul. Rashi goes through some of the more details about this. Ayin Sham. They view Sefer Torah v'korbo. And this way they're able to bring the Sefer Torah from the house to the shul without a problem of an Erev Chatzeris, without a problem of Shita from Weiss, because it was only in one direct path from the house to the shul. So they're able to, so to say, enclose that area and bring it from the house to the shul without a problem. Mor says, how can they do this? Perisu Soka Daitach, did they put it out there? You just said they spread it out on Shabbos? You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Mehechel Neviyah B'Shabbos. How can they do this on Shabbos? You're not allowed to go and carry the sheets out to these posts. And likewise, you can't set up an Ohel. Rashi and Tosfos have a whole different discussion. What would be the Isser? In any event, how could they do this on Shabbos? So Gemara says, you're right, they didn't do it on Shabbos. Whatever the issue was, they didn't do it on Shabbos. Elamotsu Sedinin, Perusin al Gabi Amudim. In fact, the sheets were put out there before Shabbos started. And now, they used it. They viu Sefer Torah v'korbo, and they were able to use these sheets, even though these sheets didn't reach within 3 tefachim of the ground. Ah! They relied upon these sheets, which were put up beforehand, so there's no Isser Shabbos problems, but they relied upon the opinion that Mechitza Tului is a good Mechitza in regard to Hilchah Shabbos. Now, if this was Rav Yossi, it would be a problem. So the Gemara had said, this was Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rav Yossi, who was the one that matted this. Rav Yossi himself would not have matted this because of the severity of Isserim on Shabbos. Or it tells us another din. Machatzelis, a mat. Tosus points out that we call it a mat when it's on the side of the wall, and we call it an omud when it's on the bottom of the wall. In any event, machatzelis arba. If you have a mat, a part of a wall that we're going to say that is 4 tefachim in its height, umashu a little bit more, so it's 4.1 tefachim. Materis besukah mishum dofin. That could halachically be a sukkah. Now, a wall of a sukkah has to be 10 tefachim. So how can a 4.1 be a valid 10 tefachim wall? So it depends how you place it. The Gemara says, hey, chiyavit, how could 4.1 be 10 tefachim? So the Gemara says, tali lebe'emza, put it plop in the middle of a 10-foot space. So the schach, let's say, is 10 tefachim above the ground. So now, you put this 4.1 right plop in the middle. So you have 2.9 below it, and you have 2.9 above it. Okay, so it's 4.2. So you have 4.2, this mashu, make it 4.2, so the numbers work out easily, but the numbers can be anything that they are, as long as they're a little bit more than 4, and the two lavuds are going to be a little bit less than 3. So to keep my numbers nice and simple, you have from the ground up 2.9, then you have this 4.2 mat, and then you have another 2.9 up until the schach. So you're using the principle of lavud twice over here. So that's what it means. So you put this 4.2 mat in the middle. And again, you can see diagrams of this in all of the art scroll diagrams over here, as well as in the Pei Rishchai on page 48, diagram number 242. And then the Illustrated Gemara on page 31, diagram number 93. And this way, you have a perfectly halachic wall of 10 tefachim, even though you only have a physical wall of 4.1 tefachim. So, again, hechi ovid, how you do this? Tolei be'emza, pochus b'shosh lamata, you have less than a lavud distance on the bottom, less than 3.0, 2.9, or pochus b'shosh lamala, you have less than a lavud distance, you have 2.9 on the top, v'chol pochus b'shosh lavud domi. And each of these is filled in halachically because of the principle of lavud. Where it says, what in the world is Rav Chisda Amar Ravimi teaching us? Pshita, this is very, very obvious. We know the principle of Lavud. Is Rav Chisda Amar Ravimi coming to tell us the principle of Lavud? Where it says, no, he's telling us to be Chiddush. Mal detem, I might have said, Chad Lavud Amrinan. However, Trey Lavud Lo Amrinan, Kamash Ulan. Rav Chisda is telling us that even though you're applying the principle of Lavud twice to make this halachic wall, I might have thought only once is good. He's telling us, no, you can even apply the principle twice to make a halachic wall. Where it says, Meisve, let's ask on this from the following Braisa. Machatzelis Shiva Umashu Materis Vesukum Mishum Dofen. The Braisa says that not 4.1 or 4.2, but you need a 7.1 in order to make a Kashu Mechitza. So that seems to go against Rav Chisda Amar Ravimi that said even 4.1. The Braisa says you need 7.1 in order to make a Kashu wall. So the Gemara says, no, this Braisa, Kitanya hi besukkah gedola. This is talking about a sukkah that is more than 10 tefachim tall. It is a much taller sukkah. When it says sukkah gedola, it means a taller sukkah. So therefore, you now can't use the principle of lavud at the top if it's just 4.1, because you won't have a 10 wall. The 2.9 that we said it was at the top was because you're hitting the schach. Now here the schach, let's say, is 13 tvachim above the ground. So if the schach is 13 tvachim above the ground, so now if you have 4.1, so the 4.1 will combine with the 2.9 at the bottom to make 7, but then it's going to be 6 away from the schach, and that's too big for lovin. So what you have to have over here is a 7.1 tefach machatzelis or amud, and you combine that with the 2.9 at the bottom of lavud, and now it reaches to a height of 10. And there, even though it's more than, it's not near the schach, it could even be more than 3 away from the schach, lavdavka has to have lavud on the top. Here we say, good osik. Here we say the wall goes up, we extend it upwards. As long as the schach is over it, it can extend up even 10 amas. So it's not a problem. And therefore, when the Braisa says you need 7.1, that's only if the sukkah is more than 13 tvachim or a higher sukkah. Has to be more than 10 tvachim, has to be higher up, that you can apply the principle of good osik and not the principle of lavud. So again, the Gemara says, what's the chiddush over here? You're just applying principles that we've already known. So why would you need the Braisa to tell me that? Well, Michael Mashalom, what is the chiddush of this Braisa? Shmuel says, no, there's a big chiddush over here. The Meshal Shalom Defanus, Mila Mala Lamato, Ki Rav Yossi. No, the chiddush over here is that you can apply this principle according to Rav Yossi, that this could go up or go down. I just gave you the case where it's going up from the bottom. But this same thing would apply from the top. If you're within 3 tvachim of the top, 2.9 from the top, and then you had 7.1, so as long as you're having 10 tvachim up on the top, so even though you're going to extend down from the bottom more than 3 tvachim to the ground, according to Rav Yossi, this is Meshal Shel Lamata as well. The principle of good Ochis applies Sukkah Tuluya. The wall, the dofin of the Sukkah can extend downwards. That's what this Bryce is teaching us, like the opinion of Rav Yossi. Finally, Gemara concludes and says, Omer Ravami, Ravami says, Pas arbo umashu mata besuk mishum dofen. Here we're looking at it from the horizontal, the width point of view. You need to make a third wall, and the third wall, if you're using a board that's 4.1, so then combining it with lavud, you're going to have a total of 7. So this board will be 2.9 away from the wall, at the right angle that's making to the wall. Again, you can see diagrams of this in the art scroll, or you can see diagrams of this in the Pirush Chai on page 49. It's diagram number 245, or in the Illustrated Gemara, page 32, diagram number 95. All of these show the same thing, that if you have the 4.1 Amud within the 2.9, within the lavud distance from the wall, that can combine the 2.9 and the 4.1 to make a 7 tefach third wall. The Chol Pachos, Mishlosha, Somach Ladofen, Kelavud Dami. We apply the principle over here of lavud. So just quickly to reread the statement of Ravami, Amar Ravami, if you have this pas arbor mashu matu besuk mishum dofen, this 4.1 board can be part of a third wall. Umokim lava pachos mishlosha tvachim samach dofen. You make it within the lava distance less than 3.0, 2.9 from the right angle, and chol pachos mishlosha samach dofen kalava dami. The principle of lava plus this makes it into a kosher wall. So again, the Gemara says, this is a principle that we already know. We actually had this in the Gemara in Dav Zayin. Michael Mashla, why is Ravami and Amora repeating to us what we've already learned previously? So Gemara answers, Hokam Mashla, no, there's a big chiddush over here. Shir Meshech Sukkah Kitana Shiva. No, he's telling us that we paskin like the opinion of Beis Shammai, which we said earlier, that the minimum size of a sukkah is 7 by 7 tvachim. Not like Basil that it was 6, not like Rebbe that it was 4 amos. And therefore, Ravami is telling us his psak halach, essentially. Ravami is telling us the hakamashulon, shir meshach sukkah ketana shiva, that the shir of a kosher sukkah is 7 by 7 tvachim. This was a relatively short shia. We have a mishnah here. Rather than going further, we'll stop over here, give everybody a chance to chazer, and with this we conclude today's shir.